Amen. Thank you, Tom, for, as always, leading us so well in worship. Thanks to our band and for the prayer. It helps us to center ourselves on God's Word and what God would have each of us to hear, both individually and as a community of faith. And today we are wrapping up this little fun sermon series through the month of July called Check Yourself, Life Lessons from the Grocery Store. I've really enjoyed this, and more than anything, I've enjoyed your response, particularly last week's sermon on putting up your grocery cart. I got more response to that sermon than any sermon I've ever preached in my whole life. I struck a chord, apparently. I got texts and emails. I got pictures that y'all texted me of yourself putting up the grocery carts, and so you did a really good job, church, and so keep up the good work. As we wrap this series up, though, we're going to look at one more kind of life lesson that we can take away from the grocery store. However, before I share that, I wanted to let you know that there were a lot of other life lessons or pet peeves of mine from the grocery store that I didn't get to preach to you about. When I first came up, this came up with a long list of things that bother me at the grocery store that we could maybe put into the sermon series. And unfortunately, we're not going to get all around to all of them, but trust me, lots of things bother me at the store, okay? And here are a few of them that I didn't get to, but I encourage you maybe to go home and write your own sermon on one of these things, okay? Now, I'm going to read some of these, and some of these are controversial. I'm just going to let you know, okay? And you may disagree with me on this, but I'm right, okay? So here's some other things at the grocery store that bother me. When no matter what the number is, when people do not follow the rule of 15 items or less, right? 12 items or less, 20 items or less, right? And someone's over there abusing that opportunity, right? And they've got 40 items in the express lane. Let's just not do that, people, okay? Let's not do that. Okay, this one's going to bother some of you, and I apologize, but it's on my heart, and I think the Lord wants me to share it. If you write out a check at the grocery store, okay, go ahead and pre-fill most of that information in your car, okay? Look, you know the name of the store that you're about to go into. You know what the date is. You know what your name is. You know your driver's license number. Just go ahead and just fill all of that out before you get up to the checkout, okay? Then all you've got to do is put the number down, and you can leave, and we can go home, okay? Let's just do that, all right? That one's going to get me in trouble with some of you. This one. Put your cell phone away before you check out, okay? End that call. There are only two people important enough to take a phone call while checking out. It's the Pope and the President. And neither of them are doing their own grocery shopping anyway, okay? So put your phone up, take the call later, check out, and get out of my way, okay? Next, this is next to last. The traffic laws of the state of Mississippi also apply inside the store, okay? Keep to the right, watch both ways before you cross out into the aisle. You can't stop in the center, right? You got to move over to the shoulder, okay? The same traffic rules outside apply inside. Of course, you're not really obeying them outside anyway, but that's a whole other issue. And then finally, and this is not really your fault. It's really the store. So for those, I know we have some friends who work at the grocery store. I'm not picking on you. This is just a deeply held belief. Please stop rearranging the store at random times during the year, okay? Let's just pick the aisles, and let's just go with it. All right, I'm tired of figuring that out every time I go to the store. Okay, all right. So those are just some free pet peeves. Feel free to take those home, meditate on the scripture day and night, and see how it fits into your life. Today, though, we are finishing up by a life lesson that I really do think is a significant part of us understanding what it means to be a follower of Christ. And the life lesson from the grocery store is simply this: you don't have to buy it all. You don't have to buy all of what's there. You don't have to buy all the water. You don't have to buy all the toilet paper. You don't have to buy all of it. As Anna mentioned in the kids' moments, we humans have this real instinct to buy more than we need, right? Like, for instance, when the forecast is predicted to be under 40 degrees, we all freak out, right? We run to the store and we buy all the bread and milk. And I've never had a good milk sandwich. I don't know how y'all are fixing it. But we buy it all, right? And I'm confessing, I did it too, right? A couple of months ago, I think I told you the story about me searching for the last bit of toilet paper in Clinton, Mississippi. And I found it. And it was really bad toilet paper, right? We all go out. And here's the thing. I think that desire to hoard and to buy more than we need, it comes from a very real human desire. And it's important to name it in order to really understand why we have this instinct to buy or keep more than we need. And I really do think that it comes from our sense of fear. We are afraid. We are afraid that we might run out. And when you need it, you're not going to have it, right? Whatever it is. Or we are afraid that the prices are going to go up so much that we're no longer going to be able to afford it. So we need to get it now, on sale, more than we need. Because prices are going to go up, and we're afraid that we're not going to be able to afford it. That's a very real fear. We might be afraid that when we really need it, they're not going to have it. With all the weird supply chain issues that seem to happen these days, there's a very real fear. You might go to the store to get whatever it is you need, and they're not going to have it. And so what are you going to do? And then also, I think there's this real fear, and I have seen this happen in real life. You see someone else buying a whole bunch of something, and you have that fear that you don't know something. And so why are they buying all the paper plates? Are we about to have a shortage of something that I need? Okay, I'm just going to buy the rest of them. I don't know what it is. There's a fear. There's a fear that there's not going to be enough left over if I don't get it now. And here's the thing. That fear is real, and it's powerful. And it will cause us to hoard and to buy more stuff than we ever really need, because that fear is motivating us to put our faith in the stuff that we see around us. Now, in the scripture today, we come to a moment of a parable, a story that Jesus is teaching. And we're in a section of Luke's gospel where Jesus is teaching over and over using these stories. And I'm going to read the setup to the story, and then we're going to talk about it. So it comes from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 15. This is how the story is set up. So I invite you to hear this, read this, and let this kind of wash over you. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." I'm going to say that again. One's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Now, there's a really interesting moment in the gospel when Jesus is confronted with this man who comes up and doesn't really ask him a question, but makes a demand of Jesus. He says, "Jesus, can you tell my no good brother who's not listening to a word I say what to do?" Right? He says, we have this family inheritance, And we can assume that his dad has passed away and there are two brothers and they're struggling with how to divide the family estate. And Jesus has gotten this reputation of being this wonderful teacher, this itinerant preacher. Some are even saying that he might even be the Messiah. He might even speak for God. And so they come to him with this very real concern. Jesus, tell my brother to shape up and to divide the family estate with me. And Jesus' response, and I love Jesus, I really do, but sometimes you can tell he's just messing with people, right? And his response here is, I love this, who am I to judge? I don't know, Son of God? I thought that's what you were doing. He's like, no, who am I to judge? I'm not your family executor. I'm not your arbiter. I'm not your tax attorney. I'm not your lawyer. And then he says, and furthermore, do you know what? Your life doesn't consist of the stuff that you own. Be careful, is what he says. Be on guard. And then he tells a story. And this is classic Jesus, right? He launches into this story where he says, you know, let me tell you a story to answer your question. There once was a farmer, and the farmer had such a good yield of his harvest one day that he was concerned about what to do with all of his produce. His barns were full to the brim already. And so he decides to tear all the barns down and to build bigger barns so that he could put his whole harvest, all of his crops, all of his grain, all of his produce into his nice, brand new barns. And after he got it all put up, he sits down and he tells his soul, soul, now you can relax. Eat, drink, and be merry, for you have all of this. And then Jesus says, that very night, the farmer dies. The end. It's a real challenging message that Jesus gives that day, right? Because here's the thing. At first glance, without the end of the story, you might think, well, this is a smart farmer. He's doing what we're supposed to do, right? He's a hard worker. He's good at his job. His job is profitable. And he does the prudent thing. He saves. He puts up the crops. He invests in his future. He's got a great retirement portfolio stuck in the barn, right? He does all the things that we think make good, wise, sound decisions. So what's the problem? Well, if you were to go back and to read exactly the language that Jesus uses, you begin to see a very telltale sign of what the man's problem is. All of his language is about my stuff, my crops, my barns, my grain, my produce, my goods. He never makes any mention of God, never mention of anyone else who works on his farm or helps him build the barns, never any thought of using any of the abundance to help anyone else. It's all simply stored up in his now new, bigger, and improved barns. All of it is about himself and his stuff. And Jesus points out that none of it lasts. That very night, he says, God comes to the farmer. Now, what are we going to do with all the stuff left in his barn? That's a challenging word from Jesus. And that's a challenging word to all of us, because the real question is, do we put our trust and our security in the stuff of this world? Or do we trust that in God, we will always have enough? Again, we go back to why do we hoard? Why do we buy all this stuff? Remember when I suggested that it's really out of fear? Fear that we won't have enough, fear that it'll run out, fear that somebody else will get it, fear that when we really need it, we won't have it. We hoard, we buy more than we need because we are afraid. And what God challenges us in Jesus is to give up that fear and trust that God will provide enough. But here's the thing. There's a difference between, you've heard this before, you've probably said this to your kids, those of you who are parents, right? There's a difference in want and in need, right? Just because you want something doesn't mean that you need it. And I imagine that most of the stuff that we are afraid of not having enough of is really stuff that we want. We want enough. We want more than we need just in case. But the Christian is called to pray for our daily bread and to trust that God will provide just enough. I think one of the big wake-up calls in the midst of the years of our pandemic life together is how even really good Christian folk like me are real susceptible to worrying if we have enough. Most of the world is in a very different situation than we are when it comes to daily bread. And so I think this has been a challenge for us modern day Christians to really reflect on what does it mean to have enough. I imagine that you've all experienced that situation where you've had to throw away stuff that you had too much of, right? Just me? Do any of you do the daily, the weekly or monthly swapping out of the bag of lettuce that you bought? No one ever done that? You buy that lettuce because you're going to make that salad, and then you never get around to making that salad, and that lettuce goes bad. So the next week you just buy new lettuce and swap it out. Okay, I'm just confessing my own sin right there. I think all of us have something in our life in which we recognize that we've held on to. And it's not just the stuff. We hoard lots of other things too, don't we? We hold on to resentment and anger. We hold on to grief and regret. We hold on to the pain of past injuries. We hold on to the guilt of mistakes that we've made. We're real good at hoarding so much stuff in this world, both literal stuff and spiritual junk. And so just like I said last week, that practicing putting up your shopping cart is really just practicing a small step of self-sacrifice and serving others so that eventually you can get to the big acts of sacrifice and serving others. Letting go of the stuff that we hold on to and resisting the temptation to buy more than we need. These are small things that we can do to practice putting our trust in God. By saying, you know what? No matter what the weatherman says, I'm not going to buy out every single gallon of milk this weekend. I'm going to trust and get my 1 gallon. Now, again, it seems so simple, almost inconsequential, right? But the great acts of faith are built on small daily acts of obedience. And so practicing trusting in God for your daily bread in just these small moments help to build up the strength to trust God in the big moments. Now, it's hard for us as Americans because we're just so used to having anything we want whenever we need it. And so it's harder to hear these words from Jesus, but they are still so important. Your life does not consist of the stuff that you own. Your life does not consist in what you drive or where you live or how big your house is. Your life does not consist in the size of your retirement or your pension plan or your paycheck. And if your entire life is driven by collecting as much stuff as you can, one day, when you least expect it, you will find out that you can't take it with you. So over the past few weeks, we've been kind of having a little bit of fun, hopefully, with these life lessons from the grocery store. So remember, when we began, I just asked you to be a little bit nicer in the store that first week and stop yelling at the cashier. Remember that? Because I challenged us all to think that most of the time, the person that we yell at is not the person that has any responsibility for why we are upset. That the sin of misplaced anger means that we will often take out our frustrations on those closest to us. So instead, to confess your anger to the God who has heard it all, and who loves you still, and to stop taking out your anger on others that don't deserve it. Last week, of course, we talked about putting up the grocery cart, putting up the buggy, those small, simple steps of kindness that can begin to change the world. And finally, today, to remember that all the stuff you buy, all the money you ever make, all of the things that you accumulate, none of it is worth the gift that God gives us in Jesus. That we can trust in Him. Now, none of this will make us better than other people, and that's not the goal, right? But instead, it reminds us that there's a better way to live. Having decided to confess our own sin, to place our hearts in the grace of God, having committed to serving others around us through small and simple and great acts of service that seek the good of the world, and to put our trust in the God who will give us our daily bread. So there's no need to take more than we need. Practicing that kind of life . That's the call to the Christian. To live in such a way that others might see in you the God in whom you trust. Now, we're not going to be good at it at first. And the good news is we're not saved by how good we are. But when Jesus brings us into his life, he begins to show us a better way to live. So we will begin to practice these ways of living by not yelling at people, by putting up our grocery cart, by not buying everything off that shelf. And when we make a mistake and forget the cart, good news is, there's always tomorrow. As we put our trust in the one who has called him to himself, called us to himself, to show us a way that really is life. A life that begins today, and a life that in Christ never ends. So friends, let's keep it up, okay? Let's stop yelling. Let's put up the grocery carts and leave enough on the shelf for someone else. And in the end, find out that God gives you everything that you really need. Let's pray. God, we are just amazed at how you continue to bless us over and over. There are times in our life where we have really not known what we're going to do about tomorrow, and yet we're still here. You have found a way to provide for us and to be with us. And not only do you promise us that you will be with us, you show up in amazing ways. And so, Lord, when we are tempted out of fear and uncertainty about what tomorrow will bring, when we are tempted to put our trust in the stuff of this world and to measure our value based on how much we have, help us to see through the clutter of all that stuff and to put our trust firmly and solely in you. Help us to reflect your love and your kindness into this world, that we won't use our anger to hurt others, to get our own way, that we won't look out for our own interests, but to look out for those of others, to serve this world that you've called us. Help us to live like we actually believe what you have taught us. That others might come to know you and put their faith and trust in you as well. All this we ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, who is our daily bread. Amen.